All right. Let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you most of all for delivering your Son to us on behalf of us, Lord, on the cross for our sins. Father, we look to him for the perfect substitute that he is. Father, I pray that he would be foremost in our minds throughout our lives and everything that we do, Lord. I pray that you would speak through us today, speak through me today, this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be upon our hearts and our minds, that you would open our hearts and our eyes to the understanding of the proclamation of your word this morning. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So our passage this morning is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And if you all came to church this morning to learn something new, I'm sorry to say that you will be disappointed. So you can put up your pens and your notepads, because everything that I am teaching is what you already know. So if I am preaching to the choir this morning, then I have achieved my purpose. My goal is not to preach anything new. My goal is to preach what we have already learned. That is, if we have learned it. So, and my prayer is that if you don't know it, that you would. And so what I am preaching this morning is the proclamation of the gospel. And I pray that all of us would stand firm in it, would continue in it, and that we would stand fast in the gospel in our lives. So Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, to write, or in my case, to preach the same things to you is no trouble to me, but is safe for you. And this is exactly what Paul is doing in our text this morning. He is reminding and he is exhorting his protege Timothy to continue and to remain steadfast in the gospel. A gospel that he has already learned and has firmly believed since childhood. And so my point, as I just stated earlier, is that we remain steadfast in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we not depart from it, but we remember from whom we learned it. The gospel is sacred. It brings about salvation. It is the very breath of God. Supremely profitable and supremely valuable. So with this in mind, let us read our text this morning. So starting in verse 14, it says, but as for you, you as Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So before I get into our text, I'd like to share a story this morning, a personal story in my life. So I went to college at Sam Houston State University. My college experience was different than most. I didn't go to college for partying. I didn't have parties at my apartment. I had worship sessions at my apartment. So you could say that my college experience was more of a spiritual revival for me. The Lord blessed me and with many brothers that discipled me. There was one in particular that I grew close to. When I first met him, he was a five-point Calvinist. We studied the scriptures together, we read books together, we discipled other people together, led a small group together. Our relationship grew, and unfortunately, sinful patterns started creeping in and developing into his life. It influenced me to a point. And the Lord had his hand of conviction on my heart. He brought me to my knees in conviction. Unfortunately, my friend continued in his pattern of sin. He did not depart from it. And so he went from being a five-point Calvinist to completely deserting the faith and denying the inerrancy of Scripture. How does that happen? How does that happen in a person's life? It happens when we abandon the gospel. That's what happens. We enter in a dangerous place in our lives when we think the gospel is just milk for infants rather than meat for the hungry. We must not think that there are higher things to learn and greater things to attain than the gospel. The gospel is what led us to Christ, and it's what continues in our salvation, and it's what glorifies us. To depart from that is to depart from God. When sin starts creeping into our lives and creating a pattern of unrighteousness, and or worse, when we start justifying our unrighteousness, we are no longer continuing or remaining in what we have learned, but rather we are leaving, we are deserting and leaving behind what we've already learned. That is, if we've learned it. We're being led astray from the truth that we have once learned. So I remind us once again, continue and remain in what you have learned and have firmly believed, because the faith that we have been given is not our own. And that is my first point. And I have 4 points this morning. So my first point is the faith that we have been given is not our own. The second point is that the gospel is sacred. The third point is that the gospel is breathed out by God. And my fourth point is that the gospel is supremely profitable. So let me get into my first point here. And I draw this from the end of verse 14. So if Paul says in verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Our faith is not our own, but it was given to us from someone. It was delivered to us from someone. So Paul reminds Timothy at the very beginning of this book, I am reminded of your sincere faith. So he says this in chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. This faith was a generational thing that was passed down from his grandmother to his mother and now to Timothy. His family continued in the gospel. The faith that I have first dwelt in my mother, who proclaimed the gospel to me in my living room when I was 9 years old, and it led to my salvation. It first dwelt in my father, who continued to proclaim the scriptures to me when I was young. If it weren't for the Lord working in my parents' life, I wouldn't be where I am now. So we are who we are, not by any merit of our own, but only by the grace of God in our lives. But why is this important? Why is it important to remember that our faith is not our own? Why is it important to remember the ones that came before us? Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, because there will be times of difficulty. And again, he says in verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Suffering will come. Suffering has a way of revealing where our faith lies. Is it in God or is it in ourselves? Is it in God or is it in the things of this world? It weeds out those who are truly the Lord's. So you can see much about a person's faith by how they respond to suffering. Those who continue in it are the children of God, and the Lord is the one that perseveres them through it. And those who don't will go out from among us because they were not of us. I'll tell you this, our response to suffering will reveal our theology of God. How we respond to suffering will reveal who we really think our God is in our lives. But, as Hebrews 12 puts it, we have a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. These great cloud of witnesses are the saints of old, those saints who had that faith before us, as Hebrews 11 talks about, who have suffered before us and who have walked that road before us. And as we look back, we see their teaching, we see their conduct, we see their aim in life, we see their faith, and their patience, and their love, and their steadfastness, and their persecutions, and their sufferings. And we look at all this, and we say, Lord, you will persevere me. And as I look back at these great cloud of witnesses, we therefore, as Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 states, we lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely. And so let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we look to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we look back so we can look forward to the cross of Christ, so we can look forward to the God who is sitting on his throne right now. So remember that our faith is not our own. Nor do we have any reason to boast, and let us remain steadfast in the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been entrusted to us. For this gospel is sacred, and it brings about this salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, which is my second point. And I gather the second point from verse 15. It says, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But before I continue, there are some heart issues I need to address. There are some here or who may be watching online who may not have even started, who don't even have a faith. You may not even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your hearts are hardened. There is no salvation in you, but rather a deception of the truth. You live as though your knowledge of God will save you, but in the end, it will bring about your destruction. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one. you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So there may be some here who have believed, and you have started, but you have stopped. You're not continuing. For one reason or another, you have stopped in your faith. You have lost sight of the gospel. You have not been reminding yourselves of the glorious grace that you have been saved unto. Some use the gospel as though it were a life vest. We use it when we need it in times of trouble, and when we don't, we cast it off to the side. Some use the gospel as though it were one shot covers all vaccine. We got it once. Now we can go about our lives and do the things that we want to do with protection. Some use the gospel as though it were a weapon of destruction, destroying the body with our words and with our tongues, taking no thought captive to the work of the gospel in our own lives. All of these things we are tempted to fall into, thinking the gospel is only for the unsaved, thinking the gospel is only just a one-time fix, thinking the gospel is a sword meant to bring division rather than healing, rather than repentance. When the sacredness of the gospel is lost, sin creeps in and it takes hold. For Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And then he says, avoid such people. And to be clear, the people that Paul is describing are the unregenerate. These are the people who have deserted the faith. But it is a warning to all of us who have believed not to live as though we are unregenerate. Not to live as though the wisdom of this world is the wisdom of God. Not to seek your own pleasures, for the wisdom of this world will bring destruction, but the wisdom of God will bring life, bring holiness, bring peace. So let us remain steadfast in the gospel by which we were saved. For it is written in Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. For as it is written, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the gospel is believing that our faith is not our own. There is no merit of our own by which we can attain, by which we can boast, but it comes from the one who gave us, who gave up all on the cross for the sake of his elect. He died so that the grace of God might abound to the chief of sinners, such as myself. He died so that my life would not be my own, but that I too would be willing to give up all for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. So therefore, let us continue. Let us remain in what we have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, and they're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is breathed out by God, which is my third point. The sacred writings, the gospel, which is the very breath of God. It is fully inspired. It is completely inerrant, spoken through fallible men, yet without any mixture of error or corrosion in its word. And by all Scripture, in our day, we are referencing the closed canons of the Old and the New Testament Scriptures. But in Paul's day, they did not have the complete New Testament Scriptures. So by all Scripture, he was referencing the entire Old Testament canon. And guess what? Even in the Old Testament, salvation by faith can still be found. All Scripture, and that even includes Leviticus, and that even includes the prophets, and that even includes the book of Revelation, all of it points to one man, our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Now, he's not saying that the Scriptures don't bring about salvation. He's saying that the Pharisees thought that their knowledge of Scriptures secured their life in heaven. They looked to the Scriptures not to find true life, but to seek their own glory. Jesus reveals to them that the very Scriptures that they think they know, they don't. They believed in Moses, but they didn't believe in the one that Moses was talking about. Jesus goes on to say in that same chapter in verses 46 through 47, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. But you did not believe in his writing, so how will you believe my words?" And here's my point. The very word of God spoken from the beginning, that breathed life into men, is the very word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace and truth, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That reveals the darkness of our hearts and shows us the truth of Scriptures. So, brothers and sisters, let us remain steadfast in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us not depart from the gospel by which we were entrusted. Do not turn away from listening to the truth. Do not turn away to pastors that tickle your ears, that want to tell you what you want to hear. But let us turn to pastors that will step on your toes, that will convict you of your sin. Let us lean on those who will tell us the truth of our hearts, who will convict us when we're wrong, and we listen, and we have the humble spirit to listen. And I say that, and I'm speaking to myself too. So do not turn away from listening to the truth, but let us humble ourselves before the Lord as sinners saved by grace. Do not engage in foolish talk, theological snobbery, slanderous evil, irreverent babble, but let us, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. Rightly handling the word of truth. And will we continue in this faith the Lord has given us, that has been passed down to us from the ones before us? There will be a day when we will see our Savior in all his glory and in all his splendor. We will say with Paul, as he did in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord and the righteous judge will award for me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And if there is any profit worth striving for, worth attaining, it is the profit of laying that crown at the feet of Jesus. And while there is an eternal profit in store for those who have entrusted themselves to the gospel, this gospel is in and of itself supremely profitable right now. It is supremely profitable presently, which is my fourth point. Supremely profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. It is supremely profitable for the teaching of right doctrine, supremely profitable for the reproof of errors, for the correction of sin, and ultimately training us for righteousness. God's word is supremely profitable and supremely valuable in all matters of living. So when we neglect the scriptures, when we neglect the gospel, we are neglecting the one who gave us the gospel. We are depriving ourselves of the spiritual food that brings life. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now we have to stop and ask ourselves, what do we find most profitable? What do we find most valuable in this life? Is it the gospel? Or do we find the latest diet and nutritional needs for our bodies most valuable? Is that what drives us? Or does God's word drive us? Maybe we find more value in political evangelism than we do gospel evangelism. Maybe we find more value in the return investment of our homes than the return investment of godly living. And maybe we find more value in pleasing others than we do in finding favor with the Lord. Maybe we find more value in conflict avoidance than we do in speaking the truth in gentleness, in kindness, and in love. Maybe we find more value in using God's word as a sword to create division than we do in being peacemakers and reconcilers in the body. God's word and God's gospel is supremely valuable and profitable beyond what this world can ever offer to us. There is no value. There is no value that we could put on this gospel. Our home may be $250,000 worth in value, but our gospel, you can't put a value on it. It is invaluable. It is all we need to be complete and equipped for every good work. So with that said, here's a word of caution. Do not fall into the unbiblical trap of the catchy mantra, no creed but the Bible. That is to pit the Bible against the words of men. I've never heard it here, but I've heard it elsewhere. People like to throw this word, no creed but the Bible, as if the Bible is all we need, and it is true. The Bible is all we need, but the God uses the words of men to direct us back to Scripture. God uses the words of men. He uses creeds. He uses confession. He uses commentaries. He uses faithful men as a guard and a guide to keep us from error, to keep us towards the truth. But we also must remember that our source of life and our source of truth is not found in men solely. It is found in the Word of God alone. So if you want to know what the truth is that I'm speaking, go back to your Word. If there's anything that I've said to you in error, I need you to come to me. I need you to correct me. Greg would say the same thing. So let us continue and let us remain steadfast in this gospel that brings life and our only source of truth in our lives. Proverbs 8:17 through 21 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than the choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries. And so if we continue in the gospel, if we remain steadfast in the gospel, we will yield a harvest of righteousness greater than anything else we can enjoy in this earth. There is no greater joy than standing before my God and my King and Him telling me, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Those are the words that I want to hear when I stand in His presence. And so as I close with that same passage my father read for us this morning. From 1 Timothy chapter 6. But as for you, flee those things which are unrighteous. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at that proper time. And he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Heavenly Father, I lift these words up to you, and I lift everything that was said, Father. I pray that your gospel would continue forth in our lives, that we not depart from it, Lord. Father, we are thankful that we have one whom we can go to, Lord. The one who died on our behalf. Father, you gave us your righteousness, by which when we stand before you, you don't see us as unrighteous, but you see us in the righteousness of Christ, Lord. Father, strengthen us for each day, for we are sinful, Lord. We are weak. But you are strong in our weaknesses. And Lord, you will deliver your saints unto glory. Amen.